All right, so Father, right now we just lift up Richard and Luigi, and Lord, you know they're under, you know, they're in the hospital right now, Lord, and we just want to put our faith together for their salvation, Lord. If they don't know you or have the fullness of you, Lord, that you'll just grant them repentance, Lord, that you'll grant them a changed mind. That this time in the hospital will just put the fear of the Lord in them and allow them to just open up their eyes, open up their heart, open up their minds to you know, searching out, you know, the you know, the destiny of their soul, Lord, and to come to an understanding. And we just thank you, Lord, for their salvation. I put my faith along with Wade and Jeanette, and Lord, we just thank you that that they will, you know, come to your fullness, Lord, and we thank you for just, you know, working in them as far as healing, and you know, so they can, you know, come out and glorify you, Lord. And Father, we just ask you, just if there's a chance, an open door for Wade to speak to them and share the gospel, we just ask you, just open that door, Lord. And Lord, we just, there's been a change in management, and there's a lot of stress in the village right now. And Lord, we just ask that you just, you know, move in that situation and just bring, you know, favor, you know, to Wade and Jeanette and to the other people that live there. And this, you know, this hardness and, you know, whatever this new management is bringing on and rules and regulations or whatever it is, Lord, we just ask you just work in their hearts. And, you know, they're focused on mammon, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you just, you know, just work in them and to bring a conviction, Lord, and to turn things around. And Lord, we just ask you to change their minds, change their hearts, change their opinions, you know, whatever it takes, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, Wade, I'll go ahead and mute you. Do you have anything else?
No, not at this time. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Does anybody else have anything they want to pray about or need prayer? Or want to lift somebody up in prayer?
I have a prayer request, please.
Okay, Julie?
Yeah, this is Julie. Hi, everybody. I've been having a reoccurrence of my nose bleeding here, and I'm not sure why it keeps doing this, but it's been going on off and on, I guess about the last month or so. And I'll go to blow my nose, and then it's bleeding and on the left side, and I'm not sure the cause. But it stopped eventually. I know it's a trial, but I would really like prayer for it to stop and not continue.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just put our faith together. So, Father, right now we just come together, and we just speak to whatever's going on and with Julie's nose, and we speak to those veins or whatever is bleeding, whatever is causing the bleeding. We just command it to be healed in the name of Jesus. And we forbid this attack. We forbid just any issues. And we just call, you know, that nose to be totally restored and to line up with the Word of God right now in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, that it was done at the cross. And we just put our faith together and believe that it is already done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, Julie, you are healed.
I am healed. Yes, I
Amen.
Am. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. All right, who else? Did somebody else come in there?
Yeah, Tim, this is Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for a friend in Indiana that has cancer. Another friend sent me a text and said, please pray for Bev Westendorf. She will be having surgery on Monday, the 21st, at 10. Doctors will be removing the tumor that is cancerous and also her spleen that day. She is very weak right now, but we're praying for a Christmas miracle. So, dear Heavenly Father, I lift Bev up to you today. You know that she has this cancer and that she has been suffering a lot, Lord, but I'm asking you to just heal her now completely so she doesn't have to go through this operation Monday. And the doctors and everybody will know that you are the one that healed her because she has this and they know there's nothing else they can do. So they'll know that you are the one that is the healer. So, Lord, thank you so much for all that you do, and I praise you and give you all the praise. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
I don't know how her religion is, but bring her to you. When you do this healing, that will really bring her to you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for granting her. Just, if she doesn't know you, then grant her repentance, Lord. And we just praise you for just, they're asking for prayer. They're asking for a miracle. Her friends are, Lord, and the stage has been set, Lord. So right now, Lord, we just put our faith together for just a total healing miracle in Jesus' name. And we praise you for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
All right, who else? Got somebody to pray for.
Yeah, Tim.
Hey, Marlon.
Yeah, I'd like to have everyone agree with me. We're going to leave in the morning to go to Oregon and California to see our daughters. And I'd just like everyone to agree with me in prayer that we'd have a safe trip. There's quite a bit of snow and ice to where we have to go between here and there. And we just ask, Lord, that you keep us safe. And some of that snow and ice would melt before we get there. And just that our car won't break down. We have good travel conditions and get good mileage and make good time. And then, Lord, we ask that you would open things up that we'd be able to share the things of God with our families out there. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're going to answer those prayers, and we're just believing for a good, safe trip and believing you're going to bring us back home safely. And we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for just total traveling mercies, Lord, and just no harm will come to them, and there will be no harm to others, and it will just be just in your times, just supernatural time and favor and all the traffic, Lord, and we just thank you for preparing the hearts of those that Marlon and Gaynold are going to be visiting, that you'll just give them a heart of flesh and prepare their hearts to hear truth, and that Marlon and Gaynold will be led of you to, you know, if and when to share. And we just thank you. We bind up the enemy. We bind up religious spirits and antichrist spirits and any spirits that want to steal from you, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for just that some seeds will be planted and watered and that be fruit that will come forth from this trip. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, who else?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi. Could we pray for my oldest daughter? I'm not quite sure how to pray in this situation where she's like caught up in New Age or I guess it's New Age. I'm just not sure like what she's caught up in, but it's strange and it's definitely not of the Lord. And like she's going to go see Star Wars tonight, and you know that's demonic to me. And I bound up a spirit of a cult spirit and New Age spirit, but I'm not quite sure like how to pray for her, like. Because of all the strange talk she's talking, could we pray for her?
Sure.
For that.
All right. Yeah. Let's just pray. And if anybody's got anything they want to pray, so Father, we just you know Barbara's heart, and she knows that you know, her daughter is not walking with you and is caught up in some false, you know, some false religions and we just pray, Lord, that you know, nobody comes to you unless you call them, and Lord, we just ask that you just work in her heart, in her daughter's heart, to just change that heart and to put a hunger for truth and put a hunger in her to see truth and just a change of mind. And Lord, just show her the deception. Just show her just the lies that she's believing, or you know, or whatever she's caught up in, Lord. We just pray that you'll just expose it to her, Lord, that you'll make yourself real to her. And Lord, we just thank you for her salvation, that you're going to give her a change of mind. And Lord, I just ask you just give Barbara peace and rest during this time, that knowing that, you know, that you're going to do it. It's not any of her works, but it's just through her faith and prayers, Lord. Father, we just thank you for the miracle and of just turning your daughter around and bringing her, you know, into your fullness. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank
you, Lord, for her salvation. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Tim.
All right, who else wants to pray? You might want to pray for a family member or somebody that's been on your heart.
Yeah, hey, Tim.
Hey, Chad.
Hey, I just got off the phone with my younger sister up in Minnesota, and the Lord's really bringing her through a breaking point right now. I guess I feel impressed to share this. For one thing, she works in the mortgage industry. She's been in there over 20 years, I've been praying for her concerning that for a while, and it turns out her and everybody on her work team are being micromanaged right now. They're tracking everything they do, every minute they're, you know, in the bathroom, every minute they're, everything they do all day, they're being tracked. And she said she got written up for something. She was really broken when she called me, and not just about that, there are other things going on too. There's, you know, been some shaking in her family life. Her husband's not a believer yet, but I believe the Lord's doing a work there. So, and then she has one 6-year-old girl, and let's see. I gotta unplug this. She's going through a real break, and we talked for a while, and we prayed together on the phone, and the Lord comforted her, but I'd just like to just pray for her, so.
Okay.
Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful. I thank you for keeping my sister, her name's Lori. I thank you for keeping Lori and sustaining her, Lord, through this time, and Lord, she's crying out to you, and you see the work that you're doing, Lord, and I just pray you'd give her grace to receive the breaking work you want to work in her life, Lord, without her having to be just absolutely crushed, Lord. Just please give her the revelation that she needs to be, so that she can humble herself before you, Lord, and really seek you and allow you to do the necessary work in her heart, Lord, to make her the light that you want her to be and to prepare her for the days ahead, Lord. Just to help her to see this situation at work for what it is, Lord, what's happening in the world and the way the system is going, and that you have a purpose in all this, Lord, and I pray that you'd reveal that to her in a way that she'd be able to receive it and understand it, Lord, so that she'd really draw close to you, Lord, so that she'd run from the world, Lord, as fast as she can, and be a totally submitted and yielded vessel to you, Father, and draw her husband on to you, Lord. Just, Lord, help help her to be submitted to you in such a way that your light will shine so brightly through her, Lord, that her life will become so much of a testimony, Lord, that he can't deny it, that he'll yield himself to you, and that that her daughter will also come to a saving knowledge of the truth and be yielded to you, Lord. So I thank you for keeping them, Lord, for keeping this family through so much, and just keep a hedge of protection about them, Lord, and just make them all completely yours, Lord, for you are worthy, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, Father, we just thank you for these trials. I just ask you to help Chad's sister to see you in it and what you're trying to show her, and just guide her as far as where she needs to be. And we just thank you, Lord. We put our faith together for her husband's salvation, that you're going to change his heart and give him, you know, just grant him repentance, Lord, and a hunger for truth, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else want to pray for someone or need prayer? I'll pray. I just got a as with a brother today who's going on a trip, and I want to pray for him. Actually, there's two brothers. So, Father, right now, I lift up Kevin to you right now, Lord, and we just thank you for your hedge of protection around him, to keep him safe during his trip to go see his mom, and we just ask you just get him there safely, Lord, and allow him to, you know, just stay in the rest and be led of you, and to administer to his mom. And Lord, we just thank you for just the healing in her as far as with her back. And we thank you for just opening up, just give him wisdom as far as just speaking to his mom and opening up the things of Christ. And we just thank you for just your guidance and direction and wisdom as far as during this trip, Lord. And we just thank you for getting him there safely and getting him home safely, Lord. And Father, we just lift up Gabe too. He's going to see family and friends, and is going to be on the road. And Father, we just thank you for your hedge of protection over him, and keeping him safe, and just guide and direct him, and get him home safely, Lord. And we just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else have anything they want to pray about?
Yeah, Tim, while you're praying for safe trips, I'm going to leave Saturday or Sunday, I don't know which day yet for sure, for Indiana. So appreciate a prayer of safe travel for me.
Okay, so Father, we lift up Judy, and we just thank you for just your angels around her, and just favor in her travels, and protection over her, and just favor in the traffic, and get her there safely with no delays. And Lord, just give her, same thing, wisdom with her family, to be led of you, and to only speak what you want her to bring forward, and just allow her to just be in the rest, and just be a light, and just shine Christ forth through her. And we just bind up any anxiety or fear or anything that the enemy would try to steal from Judy while she's with her family. And we just thank you for victory. We praise you for that, Lord, that you're going to give her wisdom, speaking to her children, and just guidance, Lord. And we just thank you for that, and just allow her to be a blessing while she's there. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Let me speak as an oracle of God. Thank you.
Amen. All right, anybody else? How about any testimonies? Anybody would love to share? Answered prayer, brag on the Lord.
Tim, just kidding, one more time.
You're allowed.
I want to say, give the Lord a praise for my aunt. Monday we prayed for her because she's going to get a heart cath, and she texted me and said everything went well, and she's got a good blood flow. And so thank you, Father, for being with her on this test, and thank you for covering her with your blessings. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answering Judy's prayer. We just praise you for that. All right. Anybody else have a praise report or anything they want to brag on the Lord about?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Michael.
Yep, I've got a little testimony. My grandson... both of my grandsons, the twins, I had a good friend of theirs that overdosed three or four days ago. Well, 5 or 6 days ago, I guess. Wasn't but 21 years old, young boy. And actually, Austin had dropped him off at his home, or at a place. Wasn't his home. Anyway, come to find out the boy had died of an overdose, and Austin took it kind of hard. But they had a funeral yesterday, and Austin has already had three other friends that had died of overdoses. So that's four total. But something happened yesterday. They had a preacher up there that was preaching evangelizing type of a message, and I forget all the particulars about it, but anyway, he had told them all to bow their heads, and he said, "Now, I want to know, look up here at me if you want to know Jesus." And Austin said at the time, before he said that, he said he had this feeling came up all over him, and he had, you know, he couldn't keep from crying. He couldn't keep from crying. And when he looked up, the guy was looking at him, and the preacher told him, he said, "It's time." And that's when Austin went up and gave his heart to the Lord. And he called me yesterday afternoon and told me the whole story. It is really, really awesome story, and he wants me to baptize him. Of course, he'll have to come out here to do that, and he's willing to do that, so maybe this weekend he'll be able to come out, and we'll have a baptism, and have just a great, great old time. I always thought this is Blake's brother, and I always thought that Blake would come in first, you know, wholeheartedly. But it's okay. Austin can come in as well. It's really an awesome time. He's still on fire. He called called my wife and told her and what had happened. And we just I'd like to pray for him also. Father, I lift up Austin to you, Lord. I know how this works because I've seen it all these many 21 years between them boys. One does it, the other one's going to do it too. And I know that when Austin did it, he's the firstborn, that he came in, Lord. And I thank you that Blake, the secondborn, is coming in as well as the prodigal son. And I just thank you, Father, for that. I thank you that you're working on Blake's heart and working on Austin's heart. And I ask, Lord, that you place a hunger for the Word of God in Austin right now, Lord. I just thank you for doing that. Draw him close to you, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for saving his soul. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to keep him up on that high road, that narrow road. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you open up his eyes, his spiritual eyes, and his spiritual ears to the truth of the real gospel, Lord. The good news, the real good news. And I thank you for it, Lord, that you're going to do that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. So, yeah, sometimes, you know, it takes a tragedy like that to, or somebody really hitting bottom to get their attention. And, you know, it's kind of sad that, you know, it's got to come to that. But to lose three friends and I mean, it's just, somebody had shared with me that there was a young man local here that died of an overdose, and you know, what they were sharing with me was that, you know, his dad wouldn't even go to the funeral, and I just, my heart kind of grieved, you know, in that situation, that there was such hurt and unforgiveness and all that, as far as towards his son. But, this is what the world dishes out, and I didn't know these people or anything like that, but somebody shared that story with me, and it was like, wow. It just really, you know, at the time, just kind of tore up my heart. So.
Well, what's interesting is Austin had told me that CJ, this boy's name CJ, that I remember him, that his dad had and mother had kicked him out of the house that afternoon. They had spent tens of thousands of dollars on this kid for rehab. But as y'all already know, that it takes God in a lot of cases to clean these boys up, really clean these young people up. And he had kicked him out of the house that very day, and it's just sad. It really is. It's very sad that what dope drugs have done to this generation. But we keep praying and we keep believing for our own children. You know, God has used this particular tragedy and matter of fact, the guy, one of the Austin's friends who had gone to the funeral with him, both of them knew CJ and were great friends with him. Both of them, Chris and Austin, both gave their hearts to the Lord that day. So, out of all of that tragedy, there was God showed some mercy.
Amen. So, Father, I just lift up CJ's parents, Lord, and I just come against just spirits of guilt and condemnation, and just any of the demonic spirits that would try to take them out over the situation, Lord. Father, they were in a situation where they didn't know what to do, and they felt they were doing the right thing, and so we just come against any more destruction in that family, and we just call their marriage to be blessed, and that the enemy will not use this to destroy anymore. We forbid it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, it's just those spirits of addiction when you're caught up in it, and you know, you think that you're right and everybody else is wrong, and you're having fun or whatever it is, but it's just once it grabs hold, it's a nasty spirit. And without the Lord, it's just, it's hard for these people to get free. So we just thank you, Lord, for Austin. And we thank you for just giving him just put boldness in him and obedience in him to not go back, Lord. Just put the fear of the Lord in him, and thank you, Lord, for just a true change of heart, Lord, a true salvation, Lord. And we just thank you for his brother, too. You're going to bring him in, and we're believing that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else want to pray or share a testimony? Revelation, dream, anything the Lord's showing you?
Yeah, Tim.
Hey, Marlon.
Yeah, I just felt like, guess I share, I seen in the paper this week, and since you're talking about people who are on drugs and stuff, this goes back quite a ways in the 80s. We're from Nebraska, and Nebraska and Oklahoma, they had always, you know, in football, they always had a great rivalry going on. And in the 80s, they had this guy, his name was Brian Bosworth, and he was just a mean person. I mean, no matter what, he was just defiant of anything that was good. I mean, when players were down on the field, he would spit in their face, and he'd make fun of Christians, and Nebraska's football coach was always known as a Christian person, and he'd make fun of that, and just anybody that had anything to do with God. And he was on drugs, and, you know, he's always getting in trouble for something. But he was a really good football player. In fact, he won the, you know, the awards for the outstanding lineman and whatever it was in the country. And he should have been inducted into the Hall of Fame several years ago already. But he never did because people knew what kind of person he was, and they wouldn't nominate him. But he got nominated this year, and the other night that took place. And there were some of the ex-players from Nebraska and the coach that were at that thing, too. And there was a write-up in the paper this week about what a different person that Brian Bosworth was because he had come to know the Lord. And I just remember, you know, when he was playing, I thought if there's ever one person that's going to be in hell, it'd probably be him. And I know that was wrong now, but at the time I hated that guy. I mean, he was just so obnoxious. But that just goes to show how the Lord can change people, and we really have to be careful, you know, who we judge, because I would have thought that was the last person on earth who could ever come to know the Lord. But God can do miracles, and so I just thought I'd share that story.
No, that's an awesome, I mean, even a testimony for you as far as seeing where you were and what you thought you know, where you're at now, and seeing, giving God the glory as far as, you know, taking somebody like this. This is like a Saul Paul conversion as far as that. So, and it was probably because he was so unruly that there were people praying for him. And you know, you get people praying, and you know, God can change any stone heart, you know, or he can bring you to a place where you see the errors of your ways. And but it's, I mean, it's just, we can't, you know, we can't outthink God, you know. He's and that's why we just got to keep praying for our family members, and you know, just, you know, God's got to do it. He's got to change your hearts. He's got to bring them to a place of, you know, wanting to change. But he can do it in anyone, as far as that. And that's a good thing, is we just, that's where we just, you know, he tells us we can't judge, because he's, you know, he's God. He's the creator. He's, you know, he can do anything. So, But so no, I think that's awesome. Where because I see the same way. I just you know, I think all of us have been there where we used to, you know, judge, you know, just politicians or, you know, people we knew or, you know, sports figures or whatever, you know, whatever it you know, situation was, and the Lord just wants us praying for them, and because you know, that's the only thing that can change situations is prayer. So I'm learning to do a lot more praying and you know, trusting in the Lord. So it's awesome. He can he's gonna do it. We just gotta have the faith and get out of his way. Amen. So
yeah, he said he didn't realize how empty his life was until he come to know the Lord. And that's how those people are. They don't realize it till they do change.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that old boy, he's meaner than a one eyed moxon. That's awesome. I didn't know he'd come to the Lord.
I didn't either until I saw it in the paper this week. I just happened to see the headlines where Bosworth was humble or something like that, and caught my eye, and so I read the story.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord.
And that's it. You know, you see him, and you see, you know, but you just don't know what's going on in a person's head. You don't know what their upbringing's been. You don't know what abuse they've been through. You don't know what demons are on them. It's just, you know, they're just this vessel. And, you know, you run across people that are just, you know, mean and ugly and that. And you just got to pray for them. It's like, you know, I usually just pray, Lord, I'm, you know, thank you that, you know, I'm not, you know, that miserable, that angry, or you know, that you've granted me salvation and repentance and that, and then just pray for them, because that's really what it is, you know, you don't know what's in there, you don't know, you know, what they've been through or anything like that, and you know, somebody got to him or planted a seed, and you know, somebody else watered it, or you know, he was miserable, and the only way he knew how to deal with it was to, you know, pound on other people. And that's what you know, probably why he was such a good football player, because he took all that pain and hurt and aggravation out on the guys on the field. And but the Lord had a different plan for him. So I think that's awesome. I mean, it's just an awesome thing that we can't our puny little brain can't, I mean, figure out anybody. We just got to pray for him. We really don't. God's the only one that knows what's going on inside of him. So great testimony. Amen. All right, anybody else? Revelation or anything the Lord's put in your heart? Dreams? Now don't get quiet on me now. How about, is there anything that anybody's been studying, or any topics you want to talk about? Anything that's been heavy on your heart? Hey, Michael, what's the topic been in the morning prayer meetings? Is there any?
Well, it's been warnings, basically warnings against certain things that have cropped up, and the Lord has had us praying against it, and also. We're fixing to see something. I don't know what, but it looks like that we may see a financial collapse. We're going to see it all here shortly, but I don't know what's going to show up first. he's been showing us shaking in the past, and now he's showing us that oh, I'm trying to think of some of the scriptures that we had related to civil war, that type of thing. And I don't know, it's just a conglomeration of things, of judgment, actually. You know, a lot of judgment coming. Lots of judgment. But we'll see.
Amen. So has anybody else been getting anything from the Lord, or any direction as far as in the words you're getting, or any revelation?
Hey, Tim?
Yeah. Hey, Kurt.
Hey. Y'all were, the topic that was brought up about the football player and everything, God laid my ex-wife's husband on my heart really heavy. Some several months back, I felt like calling him and telling him that I forgave him because he sexually molested my daughters when they were younger. And both of my daughters have confessed to me here lately that he's continuing to call them and text them, and it's usually when he's drinking and drunk and back in that frame of mind and just saying things that he shouldn't be saying to them. And anyway, I would just ask you guys if you would just agree with me in prayer that that God would change his heart. You know, it really took a lot for me to, it was the Lord that put it in my heart to forgive him, and I have, but now my heart's really gone out to him because he's lost. And, you know, I don't want him to go to hell, but I know the state of mind that he's in now, that's exactly where he's headed. And my ex-wife, too. And, but I just know that, the Lord got a hold of him, you know, that he would get a hold of, my ex-wife, too. So, my prayer is, Father, that you would draw him to your son, that you would grant him repentance and change his heart, Lord, to see the damage that he's done in his stepchildren and repent. And it would give them an opportunity. It would, you know, the whole changeabout would be such a blessing to him, to my ex-wife, to the children, and he's got a son right now that's sort of like Blake, and you know, he's been in prison, he's been in jail, and so anyway, Lord, I just thank you for changing this whole family, Lord, for coming into their lives and their hearts, and granting them repentance, Lord, to the point that they can be a witness to you and their destination, where they're headed at this point, would change. And, Lord, I just give you all the glory for even putting that in my heart, and I know that you did, because I know how my flesh has been over the years. And I thank you for the grace that you gave me, and I ask you to give them grace also and mercy. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just put our faith together. We thank you for saving him, Lord, that if you can save this Bosworth, that you can save this gentleman. You're no respecter, Lord. And Kurt's got a heart for his salvation, Lord. And we just join in with his faith, Lord, that You're going to do a miracle in that man. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for just granting him repentance and setting him free of the bondage that he's in. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, that's you know, truly a heart of Christ, and that's really where the Lord wants us to be able to, you know, forgive somebody that's, you know, has molested people, and Kurt's even praying for his, you know, it's still part, you know, he's just, you know, having that heart of forgiveness and having a heart for, you know, just a saved soul, even though he's done some awful things. But that's really where our heart has to be, is, you know, forgiving and praying for, you know, for the loss like that. So I think that's the heart of Christ. You know, he just wants us to walk in love. That's really love right there. And to have a heart for people that are that lost. And I think that's what Christ is all about, man. So, thank you, Lord, for saving them. Amen. Amen. All right, anybody else? Anything on their heart?
Hi, I'd like to pray for my family. I prayed a little while, maybe a month or so ago with you all about my brothers, and they were getting together. And God did do a work there, starting the healing process and some restoration there. And I'm really give God all glory and praise for that. And my brother had kind of cut everybody off. He's got some issues, some things, but I know the Lord's going to do a good work there. But anyhow, my oldest brother, between the two of them, is planning on getting together with him next week for Christmas at some time. And I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that goes really well, that there be some bonding there and some continued forgiveness, and they'd really be able to talk to each other, or that you would open up those channels and just come against all spirits of rejection and fear of rejection, intimidations, and the bondages from their past and resentment and just fear, all these spirits of fear that are working and operating there. And I just pray you bless them in their time together, Father. And I also want to lift up my sister, Carrie, to you and her husband. And I've been speaking with her for quite a while, actually, and trying to share truth with her and things. And they're both spirit-filled, Father, and you know where they are. And I just lift them up to you, the throne of grace, and the things that Carrie and I have prayed about and talked about, Lord, that you would really move in their hearts, that they would really see the urgency of the times and not just shrug it off, and that they would really seek you with all of their hearts, that they would not continue to just, I don't want to say they're sticking their head in the sand, but they just don't see the urgency, God. And I pray that you would give them dreams. I pray that you would give them light and help them to see what's really going on, that there is an urgency, Lord, for their well-being and being in your word, and that you would really draw them and give them a hunger and a thirst for truth again, Lord, that you would really ignite that flame within both of them, Lord, and that they would come into agreement with the word of God in their roles as a married couple, and just bless them in that, Lord. I thank you in advance, Father, for doing that work, that you are going to do a mighty work in their marriage and in their walk individually and as one unified couple, and that you're going to move them where they're supposed to be. You put it in my sister's heart to be close to her kids and her grandkids, and it's been there for a while. And I know what you showed me about that, about them moving, and you gave me those confirmations, and I shared that with her. And I just ask, God, that you would remind her of that, and that you would remove every doubt, every hindrance, every fear, every spirit of complacency and apathy, and whatever hindrances are working in their lives against this, God, that you would move it out of the way, that you would open up those doors for them to go, and that you would make the way easy for them to be where you are calling them to be and where you put it on their hearts to go again. So I thank you, Father, for doing that work in them. I thank you for moving every obstacle and getting them to where they need to be safely. And I do pray a hedge of protection around them, Lord. All my family, they're in the Midwest there, and some of them there along the Mississippi. And I just pray that you're going to have them out of harm's way when the time comes, Lord. That you will shelter them and you will move them, that they'll be elsewhere. Where they're going to be exactly where you want them to be, God. I put them in your hand. I know you're going to take care of them. And I thank you. I thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Father, we just thank you for just household salvation and restoration and Julie's family, Lord. We just praise you and we just put our faith together with her. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God.
And see, that's what the Lord wants, is he just wants us to be intercessors for our family and our loved ones and just keep them in prayer. And just keep believing and just keep just entering into the rest, knowing that the Lord can do it. He's got a plan. So he just needs us praying and using our authority and binding up the strongholds and just whatever discernment he gives us of battling the spirit. So that's what we're called to do. Amen. So he wants us to be intercessors. He wants us to be prayer warriors. And just pray for the things, and he allows us to discern and puts on our heart where we see that going on in the natural, so we can pray it in the spiritual. So that's an awesome place to be. So thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else have anything on their heart? Any revelation, prayer, anything? Well, I can kind of share. I've been sort of in the Lord direct me. I'll start in an area and I typically just see where he leads me. But last week we're kind of talking on a little bit about deception and a lot of different things, and so he had me. This was start off last week. I was in Hebrews and. Hebrews 6:1, it says, "Wherefore, leaving the doctrine of the first principles of Christ, let us press on to perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God, of teaching of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we do, if God permits." And, he's talking about pressing on to perfection, and that we need to, go forth and build on a foundation of the first principles that we were taught of in Christ. And our foundations, the principles or the beginning. When I looked that up, it was like a commencement. When we're a student, we receive a degree of, completing our education, and now we're ready to, press on in the knowledge that we've received. And we need to, take our knowledge of, repentance of dead works and, faith towards God and the teachings of the baptisms, which is plural, you know, the laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment and press on to perfection. And I was just seeing where, you know, those kind of topics is kind of the basic foundation. And when I was, you know, seeing that, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, doctrines out there, a lot of things that were, I mean, they're still stuck in the rudiments, you know, they're still stuck in the foundations as far as not really coming to the fullness of baptism. You know, there's a lot of denominations out there that don't even know the power of laying on of hands. You know, they might know eternal judgment, but, you know, that's where they're caught up. You know, they're kind of caught up in that, you know, the, you know, what he's calling the first principles, and they really haven't moved on and, you know, pressed on to perfection. Because really the, you know, the perfection, you know, is the goal. And, you know, the foundation has already been laid. And, you know, once we lay the foundation, then we need to build on that foundation. And, you know, we need to, you know, get out of the dead works. And I was just seeing it where the foundation is what touches the earth, and perfection is what touches the heavens. You know, so once we've got that foundation, I mean, that foundation, I mean, most foundations are actually buried in the dirt. And the perfection is built in the light, you know, for all to see. So it's, you know, we need to move on. And there's a lot of people that are just, you know, caught up in those first principles and haven't moved from there. And that led me to Hebrews 5 and 11. And it says, of whom, which is talking about Jesus, we have many things to say and hard of interpretation, seeing you have become dull of hearing. For when, by reason of this time, you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. And, you know, it was hard for them to understand because they become lazy in their hearing. You know, they're not hearing, you know, the Word of God. They're not reading the Word of God, where they should have moved on and be, you know, and become teachers with the knowledge that, you know, they should have, where they're still in a situation where they need to be taught. And it goes on and says, and are become such as have need of milk and not solid food. And I was sitting here that the first principles of, you know, what we learn in Christ is considered milk, but we need to move on to that solid food. And it says, for everyone that partakes of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, and that full-grown is, you know, perfect. You know, that's that pressing on to perfection. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And that reason of use is, you know, is basically mean practice, and having our senses exercised is perception or judgment or being trained, and that's, you know, to move on. So, you know, we need to, you know, press on to perfection. You know, not by being slothful or lazy in what we're hearing. You know, we need to understand so that we can, you know, be teaching, you know, have the knowledge where we could be a teacher of, you know, the principles and not have to be taught again. And we need to be, you know, weaned off the milk and move on to the solid food. and or it's, you know, strong meat is for full-grown men, you know, that are, you know, pretty much growing in more of a mental, you know, or a moral type character, and that's, you know, pressing on to perfection in Christ. And you know, as we're growing, you know, we're basically, as we're pressing on, we're kind of growing, you know, we're coming into the practice, we're kind of in the training grounds, we're kind of in the boot camp, and you know, and we're getting the discernment of good and evil, you know, as we're pressing on. But you know, a lot that are just caught up in the rudiments don't even have that, you know, a real deception or discerning of good and evil, you know. And and it says that, you know, it's basically saying that we need to walk after, you know, Spirit, and we you know, because we're basically, you know, we got to be led of the Spirit. We need to be men, you know. We need to be, you know, matured, and not, you know, carnal babies that can't eat meat, you know, as far as that. So that are still, you know, still drinking the milk. And 1 Corinthians 3 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for you were not yet able, nay, not even now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you jealousy and strife, are you not carnal? And do you not walk after the manner of men?" And, you know, I'm seeing where we just have to put away that carnal nature and not walk after the manner of men. And, you know, we've got to grow up. You know, we can't be babes anymore, you know. 1 Peter 2:1 says, "Putting away therefore all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and evil speaking, as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation." And, you know, seeing here that, you know, spiritual milk has got no guile. And, you know, he's talking that, you know, there's jealousy and strife and evil speaking and hypocrisy and wickedness and all this. And it needs to all be put away. And, you know, a lot of that guile is in the word that is coming forth. You know, there's hypocrisy and wickedness and you know, there's guile in that. And there's, you know, there's guile in the people that are bringing it forth sometimes. And it needs to all be put away so you can grow onto salvation, and, you know, you can grow onto perfection. 2 Timothy 3:14, "But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproving, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, which is perfected, furnish completely unto every good work." And I was seeing that newborn babes, you know, which are really born from above, long for spiritual milk without guile, you know, which is an unadulterated word, you know, not corrupted or debased by a mixture with, you know, apostasy or anything of man. And, you know, it, you know, the Denial comes in with man's understanding, you know, man's traditions, man's philosophies. I mean, there's a lot of things that bring guile into the, you know, into the Word of God. And it's basically saying, you know, know who you have learned it from. You know, was it, you know, Jesus, you know, the inspired Word of God through the apostles, you know, that was brought forth? Was it, you know, was it brought forth through a carnal man with a doctrine that doesn't line up with the Word? And the it says the sacred writings are able, and it doesn't say the sacred writings, you know, it says they're able, you know, because there's an obedience behind it. You got to walk in what the Word is telling you, and it's able to make you wise unto salvation. And this whole thing here, I mean, he's talking to believers, and you know, it's a walk onto salvation. It's not just, you know, just stepping over the line, or, you know, just believe in Jesus. It's you know, it's becoming wise unto salvation. And you know, every scripture that's inspired by God is profitable for teaching of righteousness, or, you know, it's the, you know, reproof or conviction in righteousness, or it brings forth correction unto righteousness, or instruction or training unto righteousness, so that a man can be perfected and equipped fully unto every good work. And those good works are in faith. You know, it's not man's works. Where James says, you know, 2 and 20 says, "But will thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren?" You know, we know that's, you know, unfruitful. So if we do not abide in the Word, you know, which are the sacred writings, or the Word of righteousness, or the solid food without guile, you know, that's, you know, that's the key there. And when I looked up guile, it has a definition of craft or cunning, artifice, duplicity, deceit, to disguise craftily, and you know, so I was you know, really breaking it down, and you know, I looked up the word craft, you know, which is an art or an ability or a skill, or being cunning. You know, it's like you know, in a bad sense, or, you know, or purpose, it's, you know, it's artifice. And I looked up that artifice. It's kind of, you know, interesting word, but it's skill or dexterity employed the effect or purpose by deceit. You know, so, you know, in the bad sense, you know, a craft can be a purpose of deceit. And cunning is a kind of a knowing and skillful, experienced, you know, well-instructed, and it applies to all kinds of knowledge. You know, you can have knowledge of the world or knowledge of the Word, but you can still bring forth deceit, you know, through that. But when I looked up this... the other thing with cunning was it definition kind of went on, and it said that in a bad sense, it can be shrewd, sly, or crafty, or astute, deceitful, trickerish, fraudulent, using stratagem to accomplish a purpose. And this artifice or artificer is really a craftsman. You know, it's an artist or a mechanic or somebody that manufactures, you know, one whose occupation requires skill or knowledge, But on the flip side, or on the Babs side, it can be for a purpose, a cunning or an artful fellow who makes or contrives or invents as an artificer of trick or fraud or lies, you know. So I kept digging deeper, and you know, an artifice is a stratagem, an artful or ingenious device, a trick by which some advantage is intended to be obtained, or a plan or scheme for deceiving an enemy. And you know, I was really seeing where an experienced artificer can be a craftsman that fabricates from any type of material, or a deceiver that fabricates from the Word of God. You know, an artful or ingenious device that corresponds with the trick or fraud. And I was really seeing how the devil or Satan, you know, just, you know, he's so cunning and strategic, and he just uses man's flesh and man's pride and man's wanting to be something, and to, you know, to basically create deceivers that don't even know that they're deceived, that are out there, you know, building doctrines and building churches, and you know, and it's just this, you know, progressive thing that's going on, and it's just a total, you know, deception and an artifice, or just a total, you know, thing that has been brought forth by the enemy. But you know, so really, the word without guile is really cunning deceit or deception, or, you know, knowledge that's disguised craftedly and is substituted for the pure Word of God. And I was really seeing where, you know, if we're not really reading the Word of God, if we're trusting in man, you know, that's, you know, we're kind of lazy. You know, a lot of people just want to go in for a 20-minute sermon and throw some money in the plate, and they think that that's serving the Lord. They're just in deception. Or they think if they're going in and they're doing the traditions of man and making the sign of the cross and kneeling and knowing, you know, when to answer the prayers back and all that, they think they're serving God, and you know, it's just deceit. You know, they're basically ensnared, and you know, they've been totally misled. And, you know, they're being led by someone in authority that is claiming to be a man of God, you know, that is truly false. And they're teaching something that is false, that doesn't line up with the Word of God, but the people that are being taught believe it's truth. And they've been totally ensnared in a fraud, and they don't even know it, and they think they're serving God. And it's just a cunning, crafty, skillful artifice or stratagem that the devil has put together, and it's just an out and out deception. That it's just what a plan. Acts 13:6 says, "And when they," talking about Paul and Barnabas, "had gone through the whole island onto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus, who was with the proconsul," which I guess is like a governor, "Sergius Paulus, a man of understanding. The same called unto him Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, who's basically Bar Jesus, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn aside the proconsul from their faith. And, you know, so I'm seeing here the governor of the island wanted to hear the word of God, and this false prophet, you know, who was a Jew, and but he was also a sorcerer, opposed them and tried to turn the governor, you know, from Paul and Barnabas, and turn the governor away from the faith, and turn him aside, you know, and you know, deceive him or distort him or corrupt him or you know, pervert him as far as from receiving the faith. And he went on to say, but Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fastened his eyes on him and said, O full of all guile and all villainy, thou son of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? So this Bar-Jesus, or Elymas, you know, who was a Jew, who called himself a prophet, you know, and I saw that as a type of Christian that may give themselves a title, you know, like teacher or apostle or prophet or, you know, evangelist or whatever title they give themselves. But, you know, this Elymas was really the son of the devil because he was, you know, using sorcery, you know, which made him a false prophet. And because he was getting his power and information from Satan, you know, rather than God. And, you know, he was full of guile and all villainy. And he was basically an enemy of all righteousness, you know, perverting the way of the Lord. And, you know, a sorcerer is someone who conjures up or, you know, is an enchanter. Know, one skilled in what they call the black arts, you know, they're performing in darkness, not in the light. And one who has, you know, spirits or demons at their command and they're practicing this enchantment or, you know, they're pretending to perform, you know, these, you know, bringing forth, you know, whatever they do, their magic or whatever. And, you know, I was really seeing that people, they see that and they don't know the power of the Lord or they don't understand the word of, you know, and when they see supernatural things going on, you know, they see these people that might give themselves a title as, you know, prophet or teacher, whatever it is, and they start following after them because they don't have, you know, the fullness of the word. And you know, so many times I see that, you know, these self-proclaimed men of God, you know, are good at charming and bringing delight to their unexpected audiences, and they don't use the title of sorcerer because they don't even know they're using sorcery. You know, they believe it's the power of God, and not knowing that they have been tricked, you know, by this artful, ingenious devil in a scheme of deception, and they think this is the anointing of God or the power of God or whatever it is, and they're just listening to the devils, you know. And they're deceived and don't know they're deceived. And they're being used by Satan to bring deception and pervert the people out of the right way of the Lord. And they are really an enemy of God that is full of guile, you know, preaching guile and distorting truth and misinterpreting the word of God. And, you know, they're perverting the right way and corrupting the body of Christ. And they're, you know, basically imposters, And they do not, you know, they really don't even know they're imposters because they've been taught by other imposters, you know, that didn't know that they were imposters. So it's just a, you know, it's a cunning, ingenious device that Satan has schemed. And it's working really well in the body. The Lord's allowing it. You know, it's just because the people want their ears tickled, you know. 2 Corinthians 11 says in 13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashioned himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And, you know, I was, you know, looking at how did these men, you know, become deceived, you know, doing deceitful works, how did they become false teachers, false prophets, false apostles, you know, by fashioning themselves into their positions, you know, fashion has a meaning of transfigure or transform or disguising themselves into ministers of righteousness. It was not God transforming them into these positions. It was the works of man through their education and titles and other works to impress others. You know, these men wanted to be like disciples. They wanted the respect of man. They wanted a position. And 2 Corinthians 11 says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from that, the desire and occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. So I was seeing that, you know, they were looking for an opportunity wherein to glory, and they desired the glory of men. They wanted to be found like as Paul or the other disciples without having a calling on God. You know, they were wanted to be found even as we. You know, they wanted to be found even as Paul. And Ephesians 5 and 6 says, let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. You know, empty words has a meaning of, you know, vain doctrine. You know, it's empty preaching, empty works. Man's deception is speaking a vain word, a different gospel that does not line up with God's word. You know, it's another gospel that is, you know, that misleads and can ensnare somebody in, you know, different beliefs. And, you know, a lot of times it's very pleasing to the flesh and not pleasing to God. And, you know, a different gospel is based on a vain deception of God's word. You know, a word that does not bring conviction. You know, a word that does not bring sanctification, or a word that doesn't bring holiness. You know, it's a gospel based on, you know, man's interpretations or man's understanding or man's wisdom or man's ceremonies or man's traditions. And they, you know, they basically are deceived, and, you know, in their beliefs and their actions are not of righteousness, you know, before God. It's just all man and flesh and works as far as that. And Colossians 2:8 says that, take heed lest there shall be anyone that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And we're told, you know, that we need to, you know, he's trying to warn us to pay attention that you're not seduced into vain deception by man's philosophies and man's traditions. You know, that we're being told that these, you know, principles of Christ, you know, we're being led to be, you know, told that these are principles of Christ, but really they're principles of the world. You know, it's a gospel that doesn't line up, you know, with the Word of God. It's a gospel that lines up with the world and just adds Jesus to it to make you believe that what they're teaching is truth. And but in the end, it basically ensnares the victims, you know, into a web of lies, and, you know, allows sin to be justified and the carnal man to live strong. And, you know, this deception is being taught by carnal men, you know, to justify sins. And, you know, so the congregation, you know, feels justified in their sins and doesn't come to sanctification or holiness or anything like that, you know. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9, it says, who's coming, and it's really talking about the man of sin, is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish. And that word perish there is perdition. You know, these men are bringing forth the vain deceit, and the men believing the deceit, you know, are really walking in unrighteousness and are on a path of destruction. And, you know, it's them that perish. You know, they believe they are sons of God, but are deceived, walking as sons of perdition. And, you know, it's like, why? How could this be? You know, and it goes on, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, which is not receiving the love of the truth, God sent them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, if you do not have a love for the truth, if your love is for man's wisdom and man's philosophy and man's will instead of God's wisdom and truth, you know, it's men walking after the flesh that are adding the Word of God to their philosophy and, you know, removing from the Word anything that doesn't allow them to justify their, you know, their sin, you know. So it's just deception. 2 Peter 2:10 says, "Them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of defilement, and despise dominion, daring, self-willed, they tremble not to rail at dignities." And railing at dignities is, you know, speaking with the irreverence of God, or contempt for his authority or his word. You know, they're basically, you know, blaspheming God. But it says, "But these, as creatures without reason, born mere animals, to be taken and destroyed, railing in matters whereof they are ignorant, shall in their destroying surely be destroyed." So they're, you know, speaking against matters they do not really understand. You know, they're deceived and are deceiving others, believing they are speaking truth, you know, but really they're bringing forth lies and deceit. You know, they are corrupted and are bringing forth corruption. And it says, in their destroying, they surely will be destroyed. So, you know, they're actually destroying others, and they're going to be destroyed because they are destroying others. 13 says, "Suffering wrong as a hire of wrongdoing, that count it pleasure to revel in the daytime, spots and blemishes, reveling in their deceiving while they feast with you." You know, they revel in the light, but are actually spots and blemishes, and are deceiving while they're in company with you. You know, as you're reveling together, you know. It says, having eyes full of adultery. And I was seeing that. They, you know, this adultery, they lust after, you know, other men, you know, what they have in their ministries, you know, you know, in this adultery, they're taking other seeds, you know, men's seeds, you know, they're, you know, what they're speaking and teaching, you know, they're really in, you know, infidelity with man and not being faithful to Christ. And it says, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unsteadfast souls. You know, they're beguiled, unstable, they're wavering and staggering souls, you know. And it says, having a heart exercised in covetousness, children of cursing. So they're basically cursed children having gained no maturity in the Lord. And 15 says, forsake the right way, they went astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the hire of wrongdoing. And they're basically, you know, this whole progression is false teachers following false teachers following false teachers, you know, all the way down that they're, you know, basically, you know, teaching Balaam and their sons of Beor, you know. They're really, you know, following a Moabite instead of a Levite. You know, they're following a false Jesus and don't even know it. And James says, 1:26, if any man thinketh himself to be religious while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So he's saying, if a man thinks he's religious and cannot control his tongue from speaking in the matters that he's ignorant, he is deceiving himself, and what he calls religion is vain. You know, he is defiled and spotted from the world because he has not the truth. You know, walking pure and undefiled before God is not, you know, how well you observe the ceremonies, but it's looking after the afflicted, you know, those that do not have a father and those that do not have a husband and are living in sin without, you know, their husband, you know. So, you know, it's really looking out for the lost and the backslidden and, you know, those following another Jesus. And, you know, that's where our heart needs to be is you know, for the afflicted, and not trying to lift ourselves up or trying to become somebody or whatever it is, you know. And we need to pray all the time that, Lord, you know, just don't allow me to be deceived. And you know, because there's just a lot of deception out there as far as that. 2 Corinthians 11:2 says, for I espoused you to one husband, that I might present you a pure virgin to Christ. And we're only to have eyes and a heart for one husband, and that is Christ. You know, we're to be betrothed to only one. You know, betrothed is to be true. You know, it's a promise or pledge of purity to a future marriage, and that's really where we're at, is you know, we need to be pure, you know, virgins betrothed to, you know, to Christ for that marriage feast, to present ourselves as that, you know, pure virgin, and not to be defiled with other men, you know, and their teachings and doctrines and all that. It's really just the Word of God, you know. It goes on to say, but I fear lest any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted separated from the simplicity and purity that is towards Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit which you did not receive, or a different gospel which you did not accept, you do well to bear with. And that means to forbear or endure with what you already received. You know, so, you know, we look at how Eve was beguiled. You know, she didn't listen to her father. She thought she knew more than her husband. You know, she received a different spirit that was not God's spirit. She accepted a different gospel and did not forbear in what she was told by God. She did not endure in simplicity and purity towards Christ. Simplicity has the meaning of singleness, sincerity without dissimulation or self-seeking. You know, dissimulation, the act of hiding under a false appearance, a feigning, false pretension, hypocrisy. It includes also the assuming of a false or counterfeit appearance which conceals the real opinions, sentiments, or purposes. You know, the Bible talks about having a contrite heart, you know, a broken heart, we need to be, you know, just a pure virgin. We need to be, you know, cut off from the lusts of the world and all that. Revelation 14:4 says, "These are they that were not defiled with women." And we know that's a type of the church. You know, it's, you know, a body of men or sect following different doctrines. You know, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb withsoever he goes. Those who purchase from among men to be the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no lie. They are without blemish. And it is, you know, it's really talking about, you know, being single with Christ. You know, following with sincerity wherever he goes. Not following man, not being led by our flesh. You know, if we're seeking self instead of Christ, you know, if we're seeking our will instead of his will, if we're seeking our desires instead of his desires for our life, we will be beguiled and listen to another spirit and acceptable to, you know, accepting another, you know, different gospel that lines up with our lusts. Thinking we are following Jesus, but in, you know, just in the deceit or the deception, you know, the craftiness of the serpent, we're actually following the ways of Balaam, the son of Beor. And, you know, so I was just really, you know, coming into all the deceptions in the church. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables." And, you know, they're going to turn to that which is feigned, invented, or imagined, receiving a gospel that is contrived by men, and a doctrine that is assumed to be true, seeking out teachers that tickle their ears, you know, with doctrines that make them, you know, feel good, or doctrines that feed their lusts, or make them, you know, think that they're going to get rich by, you know, running after Jesus. Psalms 31:6 says, "I hate them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord." Job 15:31 says, "Let him not trust in vanity, deceiving himself, for vanity shall be his recompense." So I was really seeing, if you trust in lying vanities rather than in what God is trying to tell you, you know, if you're not in the Word, you're deceiving yourself, and your reward will be pretty much in vain. as far as that. So 1 Thessalonians 2 and 3, for our exhortation is not of error, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. And it says, but even as we have been approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not pleasing men. And that's, you know, that's what a lot of the preachers out there are. They're pleasing men. But God, who proves our hearts, for neither at any time we were found using words of flattery. That's another ploy of the enemy, to flatter and to make the flesh feel good and lift up the flesh and bring in the pride. You know, it's just a cunning deception. As no, nor a cloak of covetousness. And that's the prosperity gospel right there, is covetousness. You know, give to get, and you know, everybody should be driving a Cadillac you know, it says God is our witness, nor seeking glory of men, neither from nor from others, when we might have claimed authority as apostles of Christ. So they could have claimed the authority because they were apostles of Christ and claimed the respect and all that, but they weren't seeking approval of man or being lifted up by man or you know, preaching a gospel of covetousness. They wanted to save souls as far as that. So that's sort of where the Lord had set me, you know, just kind of looking at deception, looking at guile, looking at, you know, really what's going on in the body. So we're kind of wrapping down. That was sort of my Bible study for the last week and a half, and on deception and guile. But does anybody have any comments or any thoughts on what I was sharing?
Well, that was good, Tim. Yeah, it makes you want to reflect on where you are. What if you're in a church like that, or under teaching like that, and you don't know the Word of God, how are you going to know you're deceived? Just like you said, you're going to have to get in the Word of God to find out. So, yeah, that's good, good teaching.
So I think what I'm... because part of the deception is that the people that are deceived don't believe they're deceived, and they think because of that spiritual pride that they know more than you. And, you know, so I think, you know, what I was really looking at is most, from what I'm seeing, you know, and the thing is I pray that I'm not deceived, and there's you know, some areas that, you know, I mean, even me bringing forth this, it should challenge you to, you know, get in the Word and not believe what I'm saying. This is just what the Lord has been showing me. And, you know, but I just see a lot of deception out there, you know, from what I read in the Word that doesn't line up with the Word. And I really think that it's a matter of us praying. You know, when we see this, really David challenged me to get into the Word. I mean, there was a hunger there. There was a seeking truth. There was a lot of things that I had questions on that I didn't have the fullness of. And he really challenged me to get into the Word. And oh, but if I didn't have that hunger, if I was caught up in that spiritual pride, if the Lord hadn't opened my eyes, if you know, I hadn't left the church and been put into a place of wilderness, I mean, that was all workings of the Lord there, you know. So, you know, I give him the glory for that. But I think the thing is I just... you know, when I try to, you know, bring a truth to a religious person, it's just the walls go up, the doors close, they don't want to hear it, you know, whatever it is. And unless the Lord changes their hearts, all we, you know, we can pray, we can challenge them, you know, possibly to get into the Word. But I think that, you know, our prayers and just being led of the Lord, and because we have those opportunities, like what's going on in Michael's, you know, with his grandchild, is the doors are going to open, and we just got to keep praying when those doors open and they're hungry and they want to hear truth, they want to be baptized, and they want to, you know, that's when the Lord led me to you know, to UBM. And then I was challenged in the Word and saw the importance of the Word. So I think we just got to keep praying and just, you know, and allow the Lord to open the door and just, you know, bring forth, when the door's open, bring forth some truth. But, you know, unless somebody's hungry, it's hard, you know, you know, we can't be in works. They got to be hungry, and they got to be seeking truth. And if they're seeking truth, then we can bring it forth. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you. What's that, Julie?
Oh, I was just going to say what you were just saying was good, and it just confirmed some things with the Lord had me reading in Sovereign God on the chapter that was written there about deception and stuff, and he recently had me listen to another teaching on the site called What Spirit Are You Following? And it was a lot about that, and he talked a lot about the Brownsville deception and that kind of thing, but also people get deceived because there are idols. Sometimes that can be a huge indicator will really cause someone to get deceived. And that's all I just want to share. That was really good what you said.
Right. And one of those idols is running after the anointing. And you know, it's just when we were in the church, I mean, we would do the same thing. I mean, you know, some evangelist would come in and everybody would be going to his seminar or whatever it is. And you're running from man to man to man to man to man. And, you know, you're getting laid hands on or slain in the spirit or all this, and you think it's just, you know, but the following week you're the same person, you know, you're just, nothing changed. You just keep running after that anointing because it's not anointing, it's not, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's coming into that image of Christ, it's you know, it's becoming love. It's you know, that's what it's, you know, the true gospel's all about, you know. But
they're looking for and chasing after a greater spiritual high, or reaching God in a new spiritual way or something.
Right. So, all right. Anybody else have a comment? Well, all right. Let's go ahead and close out. So, Father, we just thank you for this night, Lord. And, Father, we pray that we will not be deceived. If there's any deception in us, Lord, we just ask that you just reveal that, that you'll just lead us to the, you know, the Word. You'll just lead us to the truth, Lord. And, Lord, I just pray that none of us will be deceived, Lord. And we just thank you for exposing any deception of the enemy, any lie, any doctrine, any false teaching, any false prophecy, any falseness, Lord, that you know, that has been, you know, spoken in us, and that we just ask that be revealed, Lord. And Lord, we want to be led by the Spirit. We want to be manifesting Christ and coming into that perfection, Lord. And Lord, we don't want to get, you know, sidetracked on the path, Lord, and get on another path or end up in the ditch because of our pride or our works of, you know, trying to make things happen or whatever, you know, running after glory of man. We come against that, Lord, and we want to be humble and meek before you, to have a contrite heart, Lord, and to just walk in the love of Christ, and to love others, and to portray that love, and just to be a light, and to be led of you, and to be led of your discernment, Lord, so we can pray for others and war for them in the spirit, and not getting into works and, you know, trying to get them saved, just allowing you to do it, and you get the glory, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for just opening our eyes to truth and giving us a hunger, Lord. Because if you didn't do it, we wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be running after you, Lord. And we just thank you for just that grace and mercy in our lives, Lord. Because, Lord, if you didn't do it, I don't know where any of us would be, Lord. So we just thank you for that, Lord. And we just thank you for just crucifying that old man and putting him to death so our spirit man can be alive, Lord. And we just want to be led of the Spirit and see in the Spirit, hear in the Spirit, not be led of our carnal flesh, Lord. So, Lord, help us to have our spiritual eyes open, Lord. Father, you put gifts in us. Just expose those gifts. Allow us to walk in those gifts, Lord, and to glorify you and not to glorify ourselves. We just praise you for that, Lord. And, Lord, we just thank you for just all you're doing in our lives. And we just ask, Lord, that you just continues to give us a hunger and for the truth, Lord. And we praise you for that, Lord. And we just ask that you just bless everybody in this conference tonight, and you just meet their needs, and we thank you for answering their prayers, and we thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. It's been an awesome night, and we'll see you all next week.